In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It can lead one into temptation rather than opening the mind and heart to a spirit of repentance. How so? Clearly, the words of St. Andrew are difficult. Their words, first and foremost, that express a life of one who struggles with God, with himself, and with his name. This is the person of St. Andrew. So there is within this canon, there is within this hymn, a biographical dimension. A dimension that exposes us to a man who seeks to recover his identity. It is a hymn which expresses the desire, the struggle to be who he was created to be. And therefore we encounter very hard language. I am the most miserable of sinners. I have sinned more than any other man. I have no hope. There is no hope left for me because of my sins. I have surrendered myself to the brutishness of sin. So we are given this harsh language. And yet, at the same time, woven within this language, and also emanating from this language, is light. The light of forgiveness. And this brings us to another strand of this hymn. If, on the one hand, it is a hymn expressing one particular person's struggle to recover himself, the other strand is that in expressing this desire to recover himself in and through the triune and tripersonal God, if there is this struggle, there is also the revelation that indeed the triune and personal God loves the one who is created in his image and likeness. And therefore this hymn, with its harsh language, with its shocking language, also opens to us the way to encounter that which is healing. And that which is healing is the very love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. So woven in this biographical hymn is light, the uncreated light of God. Woven in this hymn is hope, the hope that indeed God, because he has loved his world, his creation, his creature, gives us the greatest gift imaginable, his only begotten Son, who becomes a human being to take upon himself our sin and our death. Third, there is woven in this hymn the history of salvation, which we Christians often become either numb to or simply are ignorant of. And what is that history of salvation? That God has created the world. That God has created us to be in union and communion with him. And yet, in this creation, a catastrophe occurs. God creates us in his image so that we can have life in him and that he may share his life with us. And yet, there is a collapse. So in the midst of creation, there is fall. There is sin. There is death. These are the realities our culture works very hard on keeping us immune to, or blind to, or numb to. And yet, these are the realities that face every one of us, that we are fallen, that we have sinned, that we are like Adam, who seeks to become God without God, who seeks to become God without wanting to enter into the embrace of divine love. And because of this sin, we too are destined for death. And yet, in the midst of the fall, in the midst of sin and death, God gives us His Son. So we have not only creation and the fall, we have redemption. The Lord has come. The Lord is in our midst. The Lord is coming again. And we, as we gather here as the church to sing this hymn of repentance, we are waiting. We are waiting for the one who is already in our midst to come again, so that we may join Him and all the saints, all the heavenly hosts, in that kingdom which is to be established here, which is in fact already in the process of being established here and now. So as we enter Lent and as we continue to sing this hymn of repentance, we must never lose sight of the fact that given this very shocking, difficult, harsh language, underneath all of that is light, life, resurrection, transfiguration.